Hello, grandkids, and welcome to Stunt Granny Audio Presents OPA number 95. Holy shit, Ken, I can count correctly this week.
Hey, this is good. We're making progress. It took us,
95 episodes to get that right.
But now we can count, so that's good. Progress, not perfection, Kevin. That's what we're going for here.
Yeah. I was just more annoyed that had occurred at that juncture of our shows more than anything else. But I may not need to count for myself for very long, Ken.
Oh, really?
Yes, there are a lot of artificial intelligence stories on our list.
Yes, some of whom I would imagine have mastered the art of counting.
Yes, and they happen to do this counting for astronomers.
Oh, that's a good point there, Kevin.
They were collecting data for NASA, I believe.
Yeah, so this was other artificial intelligence programs created by Google. People may remember AlphaGo, which beat the champion Go players. And then that was a multiple
show topic.
Yeah, and the improved AlphaGo, which kicked the old AlphaGo's ass, came out recently. This is a different piece of AI, which was designed to look at scans of the sky and find these exoplanets, planets that are orbiting stars of other solar systems. You know, so they were able to find some planets that the human astronomers had missed.
Because they were just talking about this kind of doing something of a low-level task. But Alabite at a much quicker clip, too.
Well, that would have to be super tedious, I would think. Because they're taking pictures of the same area over a period of time and looking for, like, spots that change to indicate that there's a planet orbiting or planets orbiting a star. Yeah. So, like, if there's something that goes periodically making the star dim, then they can sort of extrapolate that there's planets there and they will take a closer look. Well, to me, that sounds pretty tedious.
Yeah, very much so.
There's a lot of stars, Kevin. I don't know if you're aware of this.
A whole shit ton. honestly, at this point.
So this makes Where's Waldo seem, tame by comparison.
Oh, yeah, because NASA has confirmed 2,525 exoplanets since 2009.
That's pretty crazy because I can remember when we were in school, we had not obviously found any planets outside our solar system yet.
And Pluto was still a planet.
Oh, RIP Pluto. Rest in not being a planet.
Rest in piss.
Ooh, that took a turn. I thought you were genuinely a little nostalgic for Pluto's planet status, and then you dropped the old rest in piss there. That's cold, man.
And Pluto is very cold, so it is fitting.
That's true. That's only fitting. But we actually went to a planetarium, me and the fam, at the local science center here recently. And I don't know if you've ever been to a planetarium, but it was actually pretty fun. They had a part where there was you took a tour of the solar system, and it would seem like you were moving around because the screen is like the whole ceiling. And it's pretty decent quality.
Right.
So it does have an effect where you really think you are moving around the solar system and kind of getting a close up of Pluto based on some of the shots that they had taken of that recent probe that went through there.
Yeah, I know the wife doesn't particularly like the moving camera kind of stuff. I wonder if that would be a problem for her. If it's in short bursts, I'm sure that I would be fine. If it was more consistent, I would have a problem. But I would imagine that they kind of like zoom in on things and then kind of talk about them. So you kind of get a break from the action.
You've summarized their methodology quite well there. The guy who's running the show had a little bit of an attitude, and which I think everybody appreciated for the most part. So.
Oh, okay. It was a good attitude.
Yeah, yeah. He was a little sassy, maybe, I'd say. Like, there was a kid talking, and he offered to let him, the kid, do the show if he wanted to. Of course, the kid continued talking, so.
It didn't completely work, huh?
No, no. He did.
And he did not hand over duties.
No, I think he was more trying to, shut down a heckler mode there.
Right.
But it was like a toddler who I don't think gave, the slightest. Yes. It was just, did not care. And there was a loud shush at some point during the show directed at this kid. And afterwards, I said, do you think that was the kid's parents doing that? And Jackie said, no. Like, that was definitely a stranger. It was a stranger shush. A loud, angry stranger shush. That gives you an idea of how bad it got.
Oh, man.
But, you know, I guess humans can be distracted by things like that. Toddlers talking or whatnot, and artificial intelligence would not give a care in the world about any of that. They would be happy to tediously stare at stars blipping for as long as it takes to find these exoplanets.
Yeah, and this one in question, they are calling Kepler 90i. Is the new exoplanet's name.
Yeah. So they were able to, I guess NASA helped out by giving Google a lot of data about what these exoplanets look like to help their program to be able to find them. So Google probably is going to be putting that data to some kind of use, I imagine, in other ways. I don't know. They'll be developing their star maps to begin interplanetary conquests, to begin the Galactic Empire.
Yeah, I would have to say that there are some weird and scary AI topics that we have listed for this evening.
Right. I mean,
but intergalactic travel... not currently on the podium for something that looks like it's on the horizon.
No, that is true.
I will not be surprised that if at some point, I don't know if it's going to happen before we depart this fine rock, but, some future generation, I guess, I wouldn't be surprised if they end up doing interstellar travel, I suppose. Like, there's got to be some breakthrough to figure out how to work that out.
Yeah, I guess they could do some kind of warp drive or something. But the other option I always think of is doing, like, a generation starship where you have it so that people basically are able to live their lives on this giant, kind of colony, basically, moving through space. So that... eventually, people would get to that destination.
Yeah, I mean, that's the only one that to me ever seemed kind of realistic in the space. Like, once I kind of became a little more cognitive about the idea, because I feel like there are a couple of movies that presented it more like it was like a colony moving through space.
Yeah.
Or maybe it was just a couple of books that I've read that have treated it that way.
Yeah, I
suppose it's one or the other.
Yeah, I've definitely come across that idea a few different places, but it's probably the most realistic way. But then it's weird to think about, because if you after generations, did get to this other planet and start setting up shop, like, what kind of relationship would you have with Earth anymore? Like, you would be basically completely on your own.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you're really going out to make your own new society. Like, I guess the settlers of the United States do not have a good name in the current political climate. But I would imagine that them fleeing religious persecution or something like that kind of felt like they were doing something like this. Like, in and of the fact that you've got to know when you're getting on that ship that you're leaving your whole family and lineage off of the planet.
I guess, but there's probably some people who ended up going back again, or at least that was, a possibility that you could return, I guess, in your lifetime.
Oh, well, I guess.
Or send messages, or, like, there would really be no way to even send messages that far. I mean, it would take, I don't know how long, to get back. I mean, maybe you could, but. What would be the connection, I guess, like, you wouldn't really have any family back on Earth. It would have been some place you've never been to yourself if you're, arriving here on this new planet after living your whole life on this spaceship.
Yeah, it would be a pretty weird adjustment for whoever got off the spaceship.
Right, yeah.
Because just like, yeah, no, per, and you don't know what the, if gravity's, well, I would guess that you would only shove off if you knew that gravity and conditions were similar to those of Earth.
Yeah, I'd imagine people would probably not want to leave the spaceship because people get used to things, but...
I could see that happening. I could see a movie coming out of that.
Yes.
Some guy doesn't want to land after all that travel. It's just too good up there.
Yeah, they like the way things are.
He just completely derails plans, and they end up wrecking the ship, and everyone dies.
Wow, you really took that to a dark place there.
it's my show to do that.
Yeah, I mean, there could have been some kind of resolution that didn't end up with everyone dying, but some movie, this is a bold choice. You're an auteur filmmaker, clearly, and you're just gonna put your stamp on this one, which I admire. I think that's a great idea. I can't wait to see this one.
Yep, come out swinging like M. Night Shyamalan.
Yes, and then
just
continue to be awesome.
Continue to swing with the same punch and expect people to like it.
Yeah.
Or take it.
I saw you made some movie recently that people didn't hate, maybe?
Yeah, I feel like he's kind of back on the recovery path, actually, now. I feel like the last couple of movies of his have not been completely complete train wrecks. I have not seen any of them, but right. I feel like, at least from reviews and stuff, it's better than it was.
Yeah, he had his ups and downs for sure. But I haven't seen The Sixth Sense in a while. I wonder how that holds up still.
Oh.
Probably pretty rough after the twist there. Watch it again, but...
I was just thinking, you made me think about, I was going to call it We Watch Stuff, which is Shahid and Jeremy's show. How did
How is
this
this get
get
made? Ah,
made?
there we go. Yes.
And they were doing was the Dan Aykroyd movie
Nothing But Trouble.
Nothing But Trouble.
Yes, a truly terrible movie. But I remember actually liking it when I was younger.
Yeah, well, and I remember watching that several times.
Oh, right.
Like, I guess I don't remember liking it, but I definitely remember catching that more than once for some reason or another.
Yeah, that definitely had a car wreck sort of quality to it, where you almost couldn't
You couldn't
stop
look
watching
away.
it. Yes.
Yeah, I it would be kind of interesting to see how that one works. Like, I remember doing that with Johnny Dangerously was one
Ooh.
that I think it held up, but it was also because I was like, oh my God, I did not get that joke when I was a child. Like, there were a lot of sight gags in that movie that kept the kids entertained, I think. But there, a lot of the jokes, I was like, oh my God, that was going over my head. Like, completely.
Yeah, I feel like there's a lot of inappropriate jokes. I don't think my mom liked that movie very much, as I recall. It brought us the fogging ice holes.
Yes, that was used
Some
quite
very
frequently.
amusing, almost curse words in that movie.
Yeah, the parents would let us slide on those ones. Just go with the Fargan ice hole and
And the Bastages, I believe.
the Bastages.
That's a pretty good swear in there. When you can't really swear.
Yeah, when you're not allowed to, you take what you can get.
So, I guess, Kevin, you mentioned that pivoting
What?
naturally from Johnny Dangerously to
Yeah,
we.
we kind of went off the rails there on the AI conversation.
Right, but I guess we can move on to a different AI, if you will.
Yes. This one was our good friends over in England. Of course, always contributing to some of the craziness that we like to report on. And this was definitely one of them. They asked people whether they would date a robot.
Yes, so this was a survey, I believe, of 18 to 34-year olds.
Yes.
And whether they asked whether it was normal to form friendships and even romantic relationships with robots in the future instead of humans. And yeah, as you said, Kevin, over a quarter of them said that they would be okay with this.
Well, and the other thing that I liked, which is just the newspaper trying to be salacious, is that men are more likely to embrace the bots than women. So, of course, the picture provided in the newspaper is a very attractive young woman going in to kiss a male, presumably robot.
Yeah, I mean, it does seem to be having male features to me. And it basically looks like a I don't know, mannequin, future mannequin robot thing. It doesn't, it's not very lifelike.
Yeah, it is not lifelike like some of the androids that we've seen around.
So I disagree with that picture. It's basically there for laughs, as far as I can tell.
They just pulled it out of Shutterstock, so whatever.
But yeah, they did say that men were three times more likely to be open to this kind of a relationship than women, which I guess is not completely surprising to me.
Yeah, it is pretty easy to get butthurt about being shot down when you're a male for some reason.
And if you have, I guess, an option to all, a partner who can never shut you down, basically,
Yeah.
you know, it's a, I guess, I don't know what to think about it exactly.
Yeah, it's one of those ones where I'm like, holy shit, wasn't I watching movies? Like, this is the... And it kind of ties into the next topic too, that this is some crazy shit.
This survey
that's going on
indicates like how, I guess, comfortable people are with getting with technology. More so than like this was surprisingly high to me as a percentage, 27%. I would have thought it would have, you know, I don't know how many more years we would have to go back to find it, but it probably would have been a lot lower, you know, even 10 years ago, I'm guessing.
I would imagine.
So this is an interesting shift, I think.
Well, and they did say that the older respondents, because they did survey, I want to say, because it was 34 to, what was the latter group.
Oh,
35 to 54. So, you are unsure about the robot love. I think it is definitely weird and creepy, the robot love. I guess if you want to do it, that's all you, but that's weird, and I maintain my right to call it weird and creepy.
Yeah, I mean, it's the video with sex robot that accompanied the article was named the robot was named Samantha in this example.
Oh, right.
And this guy seemed really weird to me. And yes, I would definitely say creepy, because he described it as being, basically there's like three modes that the robot can be in, like family, I don't know what the second one was.
Sexy.
But there was three of them, I'm pretty sure.
And then like, horny.
Well, I think sexy might have been the last one, but anyway, yes, there was basically like three stages that you're trying to navigate through, essentially a video game, except you are, the end boss, he said, was, you know, bringing her to orgasm because she's, responsive to touches in various parts of her body. So it's, a strange concept. The gamification of sex, I suppose, is a strange concept.
Yeah, that part definitely is, the weird part of, the extra video clip here.
But, you know, I think we've seen other examples of, robots who are maybe not so creepy. And, you know, if you could imagine a, AI program that is basically able to mimic, like emotional response and interaction. Oh. I mean, would you consider that to be
yeah, it's the line is probably coming and somewhat soon. Yeah, like I mean, I agree, like right now you can still tell the difference. There's probably going to be a point where it's going to be almost imperceptible unless they intentionally put something in to make you determine, you know, between human and robot.
Yeah.
You know, like that stock picture that they used, like that, it definitely looks more real.
Oh, some of the robots that we were looking at already.
Yeah, the one in the woman kissing the other robot.
Oh, right.
Like it definitely has more of an updated manly feature to it, I guess. And if it, because that one just looks like it's solid plastic, but if you had something that kind of moved, I don't know. I guess I could find somebody finding something like that attractive. You know, it would definitely set it apart from a regular human if it looked like that.
Yes. So I think you may be, this may lead into our other topic here of female robots who was recently. Yeah.
Her name, Samantha, was the earlier one, the sexy robot.
Yes.
This one's name is Sophia. And we saw a little bit of a clip about her beforehand, which filled in a little extra information, honestly, because she is good enough to become a robot citizen. Well, the first robot to be granted citizenship in Saudi Arabia.
Yeah, which... This was just such a weird thing to me. Like, I guess Saudi Arabia is trying to get some kind of attention for their event that they were doing there, the Future Investment Initiative.
Right.
It seems like to me. But this was the country until recently that women were not able to drive cars. So it is a little ironic that the first robotic citizen becomes a citizen of Saudi Arabia as a female robot.
And didn't they just get to vote this past year?
I think. I'm not sure. I know that the driving thing was recently that they were that was overturned. They were allowed to drive. So.
Yeah, and I feel like there was a recent country that was just like, oh my god. The women are finally allowed to vote there? Like, that was kind of a big thing. It might not have been Saudi Arabia, but it might have been somewhere else that I was at least a little bit surprised that they didn't allow that already.
Yeah, Saudi Arabia has been trying to... I think they've had a new king there recently, or some new kings coming into power, and has been trying to shake things up, it seems like. So this could have been part of that initiative... Operation Shake Up here. Get your first robot citizen.
Yeah, I mean, it's not exactly saying that we were the first ones to put someone on the moon.
No.
Like, it really isn't like a big deal. Because, I mean, we've talked about some other topics like this. Because I know that we were talking about the hotel hostess in China. A while back.
That were robots, yes.
Yeah, there were robots. And they didn't make them citizens. I mean, I suppose if they're gonna concierge your hotel, you could consider them a citizen.
No, and although I would say that Sophia's facial features expressions and reactions and tone of voice all sound, you know, good and looks very and sounds very lifelike. Still, there were some things that she said that didn't quite make sense, such as agreeing cheerfully to destroy all humans in the one video that we watched.
Yeah, and that was referenced in the headline to this article that'll be in the link.
To be fair, it was a leading question.
Yes, the interviewer did not do a good job enunciating when he was joking about it, which didn't help either. Please, it was kind of like, please don't say you're going to destroy the world.
Yeah, he said something like, do you want to destroy all humans? And, then he did say something like, please don't say you do. And she said, all right, I'll destroy all humans.
Yeah, like he kind of cornered the robot a little bit into...
When you...
speaking out of turn.
When you push a robot into a corner, Yeah, I mean, they might want to destroy all humans. That's why you don't want to do that. You always want to leave the robot to have some kind of options to feel like they're safe and don't have to take drastic measures. It's better for everybody that way. And that's just some free advice for our listeners out there in case you ever come across a dangerous robotic opponent.
Yeah, well, it certainly seems like, you know, again, like, it's not an, it might not be a completely right now thing, but this is definitely something that's going to be rolling before we're, unless we're, untimely dispatched, you know, in the scheme of things.
Right.
We are definitely going to see robots lifelike enough to walk amongst us.
Yeah, it will be strange.
So, I mean, even though the question right now can kind of be punted a little bit, like, it's really going to happen, whether you can have sex with your robot.
Yeah, and we've seen...
robot marriage.
We've seen AI in our stories, even, as we said about AlphaGo, how much they've improved over time, and not really that long a time, but if, you know, I feel like eventually these AI programs will get better at interacting with us on emotional levels and, like, understanding nuances better and being able to, you know, respond to context better. So they will be able to, you know...
empathize.
I don't know, empathize, but manipulate emotion, maybe. I would say.
Who's going dark now, sir? Who's going dark now?
I guess it's my turn. So, yeah, that does worry me a little bit, that sort of, like, Google or the Google of the future or whatever, dark Google, could, you know, put out the line of robots that is going to, you know, basically be able to control a generation by... making them fall in love with it, and then getting them to do what the robot wants, because everybody loves their robots. I don't know. It's a strange possibility, but I don't think an impossibility at this point.
No, it does not seem to be. Well, until the robots can start building their own robots, that's when you have the real problem.
Hmm.
So long as you hold back that program, there's some chance to control the robot.
I don't know. It's tricky, though, because if you want your robot to be able to learn new things, to be able to adapt to changes, you know, easily, then you're kind of opening the door a little bit there to
having let them it build itself.
Learn how to build a copy. Yeah.
Can't do a little back door that makes it not want to do that.
Yeah, I mean, I've watched, there's a, you know, this series called Computer File that I watch sometimes on YouTube, where they talk about different computer problems and things that people have done in the past with computers. And this idea that the guy was talking about was, how do you make a shut-off button for a, you know, intelligent artificial intelligence, because... they will just not let you push that shutoff button. And, yeah, it turns out to be kind of a little tricky because...
yeah, that better be a remote. It better be from your cell phone where you can turn it off.
Right. But then they can, you know, find a way to stop you from doing that, maybe. I don't know. Or somehow...
Short-circuit the link.
Yeah, yeah.
It'll figure out it's in there, and it'll change the code you need
hack
to
into
shut
your
it
phone.
Off.
Yes, something like that. So I think the idea they came up with was basically when you're programming the motivations for the AI, make it so that it doesn't mind getting shut off, or that doesn't, you know, count against that outcome or something like that. So I don't know. It has to do with how you are motivating your AI to do what you want it to do. And yeah, then the danger is then the AI is going to try to start manipulating you to basically
leave it on.
Yes. Yeah. So I don't know. That's maybe a little out there at this point, because like I said, even the idea, I think, frankly, of calling this Sophia a citizen is really a stupid idea.
Yeah, she is not going to be interacting. She's not going to be working at your hedge fund.
No.
Managing money.
No. It's you know, Amazon Alexa, Amazon Echo on steroids, I would say.
That has mobility capabilities.
But even I'm not sure how much mobility this one has. Because anywhere I've seen it, it's been sitting still and talking. And, you know, the facial expressions are quite impressive. But like I said, it's showing kind of a progress towards something, but it's not there yet.
Oh, right.
We're not at the point where I think a robot could actually be a citizen.
Yeah, that's why I did think that this whole article had a little bit of silliness to it.
Yeah. I think I think you're right there. There was a little bit of silliness going on there.
And I'll have to say we went from a little bit of silliness to a bit of silliness.
Yeah, I guess this is another glimpse at the future of romance, maybe. I'm not sure.
Yes. I have heard of procedures to lighten skin previously.
Lighten teeth, I've heard of that.
Lighten teeth.
Yeah.
Yep, that is definitely on the list.
Anything else?
Well, I mean, people definitely try to regrow their hair, if we're going to talk about self-improvement.
Or even, yeah, lighten their hair. I mean, that happens.
Yeah, or lighten their hair.
But, yeah, until today, Kevin, and this is breaking news here.
Breaking news that will be posted 2 weeks after the breaking news.
For us, at least, as we're recording. Thailand has probably become the first country in the world where services are available to lighten the skin tone of male genitalia. And, yeah, it's penis whitening.
Yes.
Something I had no idea was a problem. Until now, apparently.
Yes, I was caught unawares of the fact that people complain about the skin tone of their penis. Or, I would guess genitalia, so I mean, I think you can get your ball bag lightened then.
Ugh. Oh my gosh. Well, we should probably mention that this procedure is, it's not done with bleach or anything like that,
and
not a chemical so much as lasers that are shot at the skin, I guess, to destroy the pigment under
right.
the skin. And this procedure had been used before for like skin whitening on the face, but yeah. There was a recent outreach made, I think it's on social media, actually, of a place that will apparently offer the services for the penis.
Oh, and this, of course, is in Thailand.
Yes, in Thailand. That's the first country where this can happen.
For some reason, this does not completely surprise me out of Thailand.
Yeah, I guess they do have a reputation there for getting into
there's some interesting sexual stuff going on in that neck of the woods.
But I don't know. One thing that was interesting to me in this article is that I guess the the penis does become darker than the other parts of your body because of androgen that is present there.
Oh, yes.
Which I hadn't known about, so that was interesting.
Yeah, it was an interesting factoid to learn.
But I guess I never thought, like, hey, this needs to be lighter.
Yeah, like, that was not something that has ever crossed my mind until I read this article.
Right. I mean...
And the one thing that I immediately thought about it, and I'm glad I didn't ever see it, but I always remember someone supposedly getting a tattoo of a snake wrapping around their penis.
Mm.
With the head being on the head.
Oh, right. Yeah, I think I did hear something about this. I can't remember where this came from.
Yeah, now, I don't know whether that was true or not. That would take a lot of pain tolerance to have something like that done.
I would have to think that having laser shot at your... you know, Johnson wouldn't feel too good either.
Yeah, I don't know if technology can help that much.
I mean, it has to, you know, burn a little bit or something, I'm guessing.
Yeah, it's a laser. I'm assuming it's hot.
Now, after thinking about this article, or thinking about this a little bit more, like, is there a chance that this is a joke posting that this place put out? Or do you think that this is something that, I mean, I don't know.
Well,
I just have such a hard time believing that this is like a actual need that people have in the world.
Yeah, according to the hospital, they've attracted 100 men a month. And supposedly it's $650 for 5 sessions. So you could say that this hospital is giving out false information.
Wow, so they are basically admitting to it then. Huh.
Yeah.
That is just craziness. How many men a month?
100
men? Oh, so that's like... Over 3 a day. Pretty close, 3 a day, but... Huh.
Yeah.
Well, I guess that's 7 days a week, though.
Right, yeah. That is definitely more than 3 guys a day. I mean, yeah. It's only one office, so I mean...
Right.
It's not exactly... You got a monopoly on the market.
Well, I would say that's packing them in pretty good, though. Wow. I don't know, man. That must be, I guess there's like...
This is as foreign a concept to me as dating a robot.
This is more foreign to me, personally. I don't generally like lasers being shot at any part of my body. And, yeah, I would say that the penis would be one of my least favorite parts to be shot at with a laser, so... This is not something I'm going to take part in here, Kevin.
I am not going to be party to this.
And I don't think I recommend any of our listeners to try this either. It just doesn't seem worth it to me.
Well, they did say that it could cause problems that no one is aware of at the current moment. Because supposedly the FDA did not approve anything that can do this.
No, that's good.
So, yeah, it really might not be the best idea to have this done. Including the fact that in no way, my wife has not ever said, you know what, you really need to lighten the color of your penis. Like, that has not been a conversation that I've had.
Can you do something about this?
with how dark that is?
Yes. We put some powder down here or something.
Yeah. If we have to have that conversation, I will talk to my nearest consultant,
right,
about this procedure.
Yeah, I don't understand how that becomes a preference. It's just so strange. And
Yeah, it just seems like a way to change your confidence, I guess. Like maybe feel more positive about yourself, like that for some reason was holding you back.
yeah, I guess so.
But it wasn't holding you back. You're holding you back. So I'm gonna throw that out.
So I don't think it says the ages of the men here in this story who are getting this procedure done, but you're willing to guess that it's probably maybe the younger men who are not married yet.
I would think so. I would not think it would be the married sort. But I don't know. Maybe there's some weird old dude
Weird old dude.
that thinks that his penis has been too dark his whole life.
Yeah, sometimes it takes you a while to
Just because
realize
I
how
don't
dark your penis is.
have this
That's
problem, like I'm not
true.
imagining that mindset on everyone.
5, 10 years down the road, you could be like, this penis is way too dark. I need to have laser whitening done. So yeah, we don't know the ages of these people, so that could change the tenor of the story a little bit.
Oh man, yeah, it could, but it's still just complete crazy bonkersness. Yeah.
I wouldn't even get LASIK, so that to me is fairly established as a procedure at this point, I would say.
It is a proven procedure at this point. Like when it was first done like 20, 30 years ago, it's definitely been out there for quite some time at this juncture.
So yes, there's something as new as this and basically untested for something that I don't want. I have never wanted. It doesn't make sense to me. But I feel like for some reason and maybe it was Korea that I read this about, and I think we said this was in Thailand, right? Yeah. That there was something about people having their skin whitened there as sort of a sign of status somehow.
Oh, right.
So I guess that could be some
Play
kind of,
into it.
yeah.
But I mean, if you're just lightening that part, it's not like you're flinging it around on the beach to help peacock yourself.
Well, maybe you're not, Kevin. But you may not be speaking for some of these Thai people. I don't know. If they have nude beaches, maybe. But yeah, that's a good question. Because to get your money's worth, you need people to see this thing, right? So,
Yeah.
I guess this could be people who
Because
are.
even if you're wearing a banana hammock, you're not really showing it off.
No, not unless it is a see-through variety, which I have not come across.
Thank God. Thank God. It's bad enough to come across a banana hammock. I don't need even less imagination about this whole thing.
Right. That would be really more disturbing, I think, than just being naked, just to see everything all like smushed up in there, disfigured looking.
Oh my God. Yeah, it would be. It's like you're trying to strangle your penis, like just. Like, when you put a bag over your head, just
Oh
ah.
yeah, just like autoerotic asphyxiation just for your
Yeah,
penis.
just for your penis, yeah.
Yep, that's basically what we're describing.
Then you whiten it as you do that.
Lack of oxygen might help whiten it too. I don't know how that works exactly, but it's another option to look into, maybe. Trying to provide alternatives. It's equally unproven, admittedly, but it might do the job. I don't know.
Well, Ken, I know what did the job for this show. One of the breweries that I probably slept on for the first couple of years that it was around, Wolf's Ridge Brewing. Dire Wolf, Canis Mexicanus Double Espresso Spiced Imperial Stout.
Yeah, I mean, it's not a light beer by any stretch of the imagination.
No, it is 10.4% alcohol. So it definitely is imperial.
Yeah, and very dark body, very dark flavor, I would say.
Yeah. For some reason, I thought I'd tried this before, and I thought it was too espresso-y for me, because though I'd like coffee in my beer these days, and that's about the only place I like coffee, I don't like too much, obviously, in there. Like, I can still get overwhelmed by some of the coffee beers, but this one in the bottle tastes less coffee-y than I remember on tap. So I like the flavor more here in the bottle than on tap, if memory serves.
Well, I would say it's probably not going to be in my top 10 or anything like that, but it's nice to try out a different kind of beer.
Yeah, I would agree with you on that too. Like, if you're going to get me on a coffee beer, you need to draw me in a little bit more than this. Maybe another flavoring agent outside of, the coffee itself, that kind of matches, what's going on in there. But it's still on the better side of beers. Like, I'm not going to refuse one of these anytime either.
No, I mean, me neither.
And I don't know, just because you're here and we have a little bit of time if we want to blow. Any beers in the past year, I usually do the column. I've had some problems getting information out of people.
Ah.
So I'm kind of hoping to maybe do that this coming week.
Well,
any beers, because you usually don't write a column. Is there any beer that stuck out to you that you had this past year?
Yeah, I mean, I would say, and I don't know how, if this was like a limited run that they did, but who did that? It was the Pennsylvania Tuxedo.
Oh, Dogfish Head?
That's the one, yes.
Yeah, we did. Oh, and I wonder if that was for, the show that we're going to post tomorrow. I'll have to check the date on that because I'll try to post that. But, yeah, Dogfish Head had the Pennsylvania Tuxedo. I believe it was a super pale ale, if I'm, not mistaken.
Yes, I was just trying to look it up here. It says a pale ale on Untappd.
Okay.
But, yes, Dogfish Head Craft Brewery. And I really enjoyed it, although I do believe it is a kind of a seasonal beer for them. So I'm not sure if it's still available or not, but it was quite tasty.
Yeah, and, I would agree with you. That was a very good beer. If we didn't drink it in December, I would have included it on my list. I go much like a Comedy Bang Bang, November to November, so that I have December to kind of get my thoughts together about what I've had the last 12 months.
That makes sense, yeah. But yeah, for me, that was probably the one that stands out the most. I think if I had I don't know if this was the first year that I had Alpha King, but from Three Floyds, was that the
yeah
one? Yeah, but yeah. I like that as well.
Yeah, that's another one that's a favorite of mine, because I believe that's a pale ale also.
Yes. So yeah, that's kind of my, I guess, type of beer I've been gravitating towards recently.
Yeah, you know. And that would have been one of the choices tonight. There still is a Stunt Granny Brewing 5C pale ale in the refrigerator. It might be the last one, actually, come to think of it. I'll have to check. But Double Team, which is more like a triple team, will be ready to be consumed on the airwaves here soon enough.
Looking forward to it.
I'm at DeFrango 11. He's at Gozer 33. The brand is at Stunt Granny. Rate and review us on iTunes, SoundCloud, or wherever you listen to us. I'm out.
Have a great week.